All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Every Six Sex, Sex Relationship Podcast. So please qualify to talk about it. I'm a co-host, Reds Codover, who has a tonsil sore.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
We're moving it. Here's a hammer. We're moving in. So what just happened here is that I had an idea of how to start it, and you had an idea of how to start it. And instead of me going along with you, I was like, how about we both try it, and then we'll just see which one we like.
Gotcha. We're moving in to our house, and the moving into our new house has caused issues for my tonsils.
Oh, you tied them together. I thought you were just going to go for mine, and then I was going to, after you stopped talking about the house, I was going to be like, and Rhodes has a tonsil sore that makes his throat hurt.
Yeah.
And I thought we were just going to kind of, neither of us would engage with the other person until...
Gotcha. No, I just tied them together.
I thought that could be an interesting new way of podcasting.
Because I'm a big believer in tying things together and being inclusive. I'm a big believer in that.
I'm just picturing your tonsils getting tied together.
No. Please, God, no. I don't like this image. Stop.
I can't stop thinking about it.
No, it's... Okay, so we moved into an apartment together. It's so exciting. We're actually in that apartment right now as we record.
We're Rhodes and Marina, and we're...
Oh, yeah.
We're brother and sister.
I introduced myself.
This is Every Six Sec. Did you... You said that, right?
I did all this stuff. You just didn't introduce yourself. You were just like,
I'm
knock.
Marina. Hey! And yay! We're knock, 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 knock. We're moving into the ding dong. Who's at the door? It's our apartment that we moved into.
That is the door being knocked on. Our apartment door is knocking on our own door. It's really meta. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but yeah.
That's the introduction. Let's talk about asexuality.
Yeah, let's talk about asexuality.
That's how segues go.
But yeah, we moved in together. It's very exciting. My tonsil hurts. So talking like this is actually becoming painful as we go. So this is going to be a fun podcast.
Oh, that's why you mentioned it. I thought you just wanted more people to feel sorry for you.
I mean, also that.
I'm not that sorry for you. I've heard about this like nonstop for a week. So I don't actually care that much.
I mean, it hasn't been a week, but sure.
I mean, it feels like it's been a week. We've really enjoying living together and doing the podcast.
Yes, we do indeed. Sorry for my awkward pause there. That was me being in a lot of pain from my tonsil.
All right, so now the podcast listener knows how I feel listening to you talk about your tonsil all the time.
Yeah. And then no one understands the pain I'm in right now because of my tonsil. So, win-win.
Yeah, because no one's ever felt that before. You're the first one.
First one. So yeah, what are we talking about this week, Marina? What are we talking about? Bring us home.
Asexuality.
Yeah, fuck sex.
Yeah. That's funny. That's like a funny slogan we could put on t-shirts if I wasn't nervous about putting the word fuck on a t-shirt. Sex is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny because fucking is sex.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
That's kind of funny. You could even flip it and you could just be like, sex fuck. And it's like, well, they're synonyms. And it's like, kinda.
Kinda, not exactly.
Kinda synonyms, but kinda not really doesn't make sense. Okay, so this is what we were going to do this time. We were going to do one where you talk about the discourse. Rose doesn't really know much about this, and that's because you're not on Tumblr, and I think that discourse only exists on Tumblr.
Correct.
So, like, some things about this episode are going to be downers, where you're going to be like, people think that and believe that, and then it's going to be like, well, only on Tumblr, maybe. So, this isn't anything to carry with you in your life, but just kind of, like, some of the crazy stuff people say to gatekeep asexual folks out of stuff, one thing, or also just, like, the way that it's, I was going to sum up what discourse was. And how it's like, it's about things that make the world different or weird for asexual people. And I was like, well, that's kind of what we talk about every week. So there's not really anything specifically.
Yeah, no. So yeah. So tell me about what is this discourse? Like what is being discoursed?
Well, some people, okay. So when a man and a woman love each other very much, sometimes they get married and they have sex and have babies.
Oh, that's what that sentence Dad never finished was.
When we were in the car.
Yeah.
When a man and a woman love each other very much, that's a red light.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And we were like, oh, I guess I should be asexual. It's a red light if you love somebody very much.
Stop right now, Rhodes. I was like, all right, that's it. That's the end of the sentence for me. I'm asexual.
Some people would perhaps say that if someone told you that when you were a child, when you were learning about sexuality just in general, that if someone was like, and asexuality is a thing, you'd be like, oh, okay. And then you would just think you were asexual, but you wouldn't actually be.
Hmm.
And you would just think that was a thing because you would just go through life having... We kind of came up with the thing last week. We were talking about like sex ed in school and stuff like that, right? And somebody has, in the discourse, someone told me specifically that actually it's a bad thing if kids, minors, like teenagers who are learning sex ed should not be introduced to the idea of asexuality because it will like ruin them.
Gotcha. How?
Because then you'll be like, oh, I guess I'm asexual, and you won't actually be.
So that's interesting. I think, one issue that I see jumping out at me, I haven't really heard any of this stuff going in, so this is all pretty reactionary on my part.
What I was hoping was that I would just kind of like lay some stuff on you and see what you thought.
Yeah, so the thing that really jumps out to me there is, let's say we talk about asexuality like an 8-year-old. Most 8-year-olds probably, if I know how anything works, probably haven't hit puberty yet, right? So
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know, because I think I did it like somewhere in the 12 to 14 range, like middle school.
I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, I think so. Basically,
yeah,
teenagers.
Yeah, 8th grade, you're like 4th grader. That's not a thing.
Yeah. So, basically, you tell this 8-year-old, hey, yo, asexuals are a thing. That kid might go, oh, well, I don't feel this weird sex thing that you're talking about, so maybe I am asexual. Mm-hmm. So that's true. But the issue that this person is saying is that, like, once they hear it, they'll think, oh, I'm that, and then be locked in it forever. But I think the issue there is that means that this idea that that sexuality can't be fluid. Like, once you pick a thing, you're that forever. It's like, first of all, you pick something is incorrect. But this idea that once you decide you're that, you can't like adapt later or change. That's like an underlying like implication of that claim. Like, oh, you're gonna get this kid stuck as an asexual for the rest of their life because they'll think they are once. It's like, no, you just have to tell them whatever is good for you, use that label, because that's why we have them, to communicate. Like, the issue is clearly the lack of fluidity, to me at least. This idea of
But listen, here, let me lay something else on you.
Yeah, hit me.
Asexuality, if you talk to kids about asexuality, or even your peers when you're not, and when I say kids, I don't even mean an 8-year-old. I mean like a 12-year-old.
Okay. Okay.
Because you're a kid until you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you are able to understand what sexuality
magically
is. But before that, you're not.
You're like, what?
But you can take sex ed. Mm-hmm. And you can learn about bisexuality. You can learn about homosexuality, heterosexuality, transgender, like any type of thing. But not asexuality.
Okay.
Because asexuality is specifically all about sex.
I don't.
What have you got?
That just seems kind of unintuitive.
Okay, I thought so too. So I tried to figure it out and talk it out and see it from the other side. And I think the idea is that if you are now talking to like a child, and if I was talking to like my niece, right, a 5-year-old kid or something, and they were like, "I have a mommy and daddy. Why don't you have, like, who do you love? Like, my mommy and daddy love each other or something." And you were like, well, and you wanted to explain asexuality, or say you wanted to explain like that you're bisexual, you could be like, well, I love both genders. Like, I love boys and girls equally. But if you are trying to explain asexuality to a kid, you'd specifically have to somehow get into, well, there's such a thing as sexual attraction, and I don't have that.
Yeah,
so that's me.
This person, whoever is arguing this, doesn't seem to understand the concept versus, like, just because I'm asexual doesn't mean I'm aromantic. Like, because it seems like the romantic component is what they're claiming talking about hetero, homo, bisexuality is all about. But that's not true because it's in sex ed. Like, it's like that doesn't make any sense. Because it's like, I get what they're saying in that, like, well, because when we're talking about homosexuality, we're talking about gay people loving each other. You don't have to bring in sex, but with asexuality, the only component of it is the lack of sex. Therefore, you have to talk about it. But that's because you've picked like the one half of it that you want to talk about on both different things. You're not comparing fairly, because like asexual people can be aromantic. Yes. And that's something that they should be exposed to then. But if you're saying that asexuality as a sexuality shouldn't be discussed, then no sexuality should be discussed because they all involve sex. Like, you're comparing romanticism to sexuality, and that's silly.
Okay, let me lay another one on you.
Okay.
The split attraction model isn't valid.
The
split attraction. Split attraction is then that there can be, you can have a romantic attraction and a sexual attraction and that they're different. So like you could maybe be, you know, romantic. Well, they would argue that it's not valid. That there isn't a reason to define those two things, like to split those things up.
Well, they're wrong, so that's fun.
Why is that?
Because I've experienced a lack of sexual attraction, but a romantic attraction to people, so...
See, okay, but this is one that I am interested in, because maybe I am also, like, aromantic, although I don't think so. I legitimately just feel like if there was anything that wasn't asexuality, it would just be some sort of, like, very not interested, but probably bi. Like, because mm-hmm. I feel like anybody could fit. Like, it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. I don't think.
Gotcha.
But also, romantic gestures I'm not into and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but I can imagine, like, well, it could be nice to have, like, a significant other who was, like, my partner for life.
Mm-hmm.
But that could also be queer platonic. Basically, I don't understand what romance is either, so I'm kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe split attraction doesn't make sense. Can you feel romantic attraction and not sexual attraction?
I mean, I definitely have felt those distinct things.
How do you define them
differently? I don't know I know going in, I'm not going to define it very well for you or for our listeners. But basically, I know
good thing
like
we have a podcast then.
Right, exactly.
We're but super like, doing the good work here.
But like I've been in relationships with female people before, and I know that in those relationships, I've been like, you know, close with them. Obviously, I'm dating them, right? And I've felt like a lot of emotional connection without any desire for sex, like an actual, like, active lack of desire for sex. Like, I would act, there are moments where I was like, I guess this could be a sexual thing now, but I really wouldn't want that. That would take away from it. But there's also this, like, really intense emotional bond with that person that I don't share with anybody else. And then outside of those relationships, I found myself desiring that romantic attachment to people. Like I've sat at a place and be like, oh man, I wish I had that. Or I wish I had that with that person. They're really cool. But it's never, oh man, but they're also like super hot. So like, that's what I want. It's like, it's such a different thing. At least from my understanding. I mean, maybe
friendship? That's my thing.
Because it's just like,
I can understand why sex isn't involved, but I don't understand why it's certainly romance.
Because best way I'm going to describe it is definitely like it's a quantitative difference as opposed to a qualitative difference, I think. Because it's just it's so much more than, like, I'm very close friends with, like, my male friends who I almost named out loud but chose not to because I keep fucking that up. I'm close with my male friends.
Gregory, but there's a
very...
One. I'm going to name him. You can't make me stop.
Gregory 1.
Patrick.
I have Gregory 1,
Juan,
Gregory 2.
And Patrick. Oh,
I heard 1, so it was like Gregory 1. I was like,
Gregory,
there's multiple
Gregory. And also
Gregory
2, the other Gregory.
Other Gregories, yeah. And then also Gregory Alpha. We just thought mm-hmm. we'd change up the lettering / enumeration
Gregory
style.
Gregory Uno. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we call Juan, but like we're being a little racist.
Yeah. but it just, it's... I have male friends, Gregory, and I, you know, feel really close attachment to Gregory, but it's not even close to the emotional entanglement and I'm going to use this word and it's going to sound so bad. It's not really accurate, but the only thing that comes to mind is just like obsession even. That's not even the right word because that's misleading. It's
okay.
Like,
mm-hmm. Let's pivot into are you a serial killer? Go.
Yes.
Who are you obsessed with? You have obsession?
Obsession is definitely the wrong word. It's more of like,
people?
I find myself in the romantic relationships, I found myself thinking about that person during the day. Just like, oh, I hope they're having a good day. Like, I really hope that like their life's going good. I just really...
Do you not think that about your friends?
Not in the same way, no. I don't find myself... Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, you know, I hope, you know, Gregory's having a good day. But it's not like, oh, I just really hope... Like, I really hope he's having a good day and I really hope I can make it better for him. Like, that's like, I mean, like sometimes like, oh, it'd be nice to help. But like the intense amount of desire I have to make it better or that they're having a good day just is not comparable. It's just, it's like a quantitative difference, I think, is how I best can describe it, I think.
Crazy pants.
It is pretty crazy pants. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, it's just like, cause I feel like I felt that kind of thing before. I feel like I remember specifically there was one time I was at like rehearsal or something and something was funny and I was kind of making like office faces, you know, I'm like mm-hmm, turning mm-hmm. to the side being like, what the heck? And then thinking like, wouldn't it be fun if this person that I'm thinking of was here and we could make that face at each other?
Yep.
I'm like, just thinking about every bit of my day that I want to share with that person. But I don't necessarily think that's a romantic thing. You know what I mean? Like, in some cases, or like if it's a crush or something, maybe that you think about what would it be like if that person was here. But generally, once it starts getting, I know maybe it's, again, just because I have like sex and romance too tightly tied up together. But generally, if it's like, but if it was some sort of, like, if this crush was actually here and it was maybe, like, then, like, if you think about it, I guess in practice, I'm like, oh, that would suck. I would be nervous and it would suck. Like, I would like to basically just have, like, a good friend. Like, if any time I'm, like, imagining a scenario, it's, like, it skips over any kind of, like, getting to know each other and all that blah. And it's, like, just having somebody who was there and we hung out all the time. And I don't necessarily think of that as being, like, a romantic thing. I mean, there's no reason that it's not romantic, but it seems to me, like, the only reason things are or are not romantic does tend to be, like, if you want to kiss afterwards.
See, I don't necessarily associate it with, like, the kissing piece that you're pointing to, I guess. Because, I mean, certainly that has come up, but I don't think it's, like, the critical piece. I think it's this, like, the romantic piece is having, maybe it's the, I can't find this word here, the singleness of it. That's so the wrong word. The exclusivity, that's the wrong word. But having like that one person where it, like, you can just trust them. And that's not necessarily friendship in the same way. Like, Gregory and I are very close and I trust him with anything. But he's not like,
oh, are you talking about Sex Pizza Review Guy?
Yeah.
Aw, how are you doing? I hope you're doing good, Sex Pizza Guy. I know you are. You changed your review to 5 stars. That's pretty cool.
You're a cool guy. No, I'm not. I just didn't know what you were talking about, so I thought I'd just agree. I'm talking about a different person.
You're talking about somebody else. God, how many close male friends do you have that I don't even know about that you trust with your whole life or whatever? Sorry, Sex Pizza Review Guy. Yeah. I guess you're not Rose's closest friend than he was thinking.
I didn't say like the most close. Jeez, it's not about like quantitative measurement of who's the most close. Jeez.
If you think that you're Rhodes's Gregory, leave a review and say, no, it's me.
I'm the one who delivers Chinese food.
What?
He's not a pizza sex guy. He's a Chinese sex guy.
This podcast is better than Chinese food. 1 star. I'm Gregory. Bye. The end of the review. Please leave. What the fuck were we talking about?
Wouldn't that be a wild way to end the podcast? Like in the middle of a dialogue? And the next one just picks up from right here and we get 2 weeks out of one.
Ooh, now you're thinking, because where did I put that hammer? I don't know. Here's a utility knife. Knock, knock, knock. We're moving.
That's
the sound of a knife. Okay.
We were talking about weird romance in relation to like friendship and how it's different. It's just, I think with the romantic side, it's somehow more personal or like bigger. I don't know. It's just, it's a quantity thing, not a quality thing.
That's crazy. But we've talked about this before, so I'm going to cut you off. But that's pants. I still don't get it.
Cut me off. Okay.
But listen, let me say some more stuff here, because as it turns out, since the split attraction model isn't hashtag valid, asexual people are actually cishet, which is to say cisgendered heterosexual people.
Okay.
What about that?
I mean, that is the implication of the first part, and I'm just as in disagreement. Because it's like, I've talked to cishet, I think you said? I've talked to plenty of those. Cishet.
It's generally used as a slur against, in like that fun way when people are like, I've had slurs used against me, so I'm going to make up ones to use against other people. And you're like, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah,
it's but
not
it's
great.
Generally used that way.
It's used
that's
as
generally
a slur.
How it's, it was originally just like a way of like saying like, you know, that like this person's trans woman or that person's like gay and this person's a cishet. Like, but now it's like, you're a dirty cishet. And you're like,
that's
cool.
Shitty.
And asexual people who think that they should be part of the LGBT community are just dirty cishets, apparently, because split attraction isn't valid.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
What do you think?
Thoughts? I mean, That's shitty. I've interacted with many people who would identify actively as cishets, and I use that as a positive term because I see no reason to use slurs against people. And I can tell from my interactions with them that I experience sexual attraction very differently than they do. Basically, I don't.
I feel like that specifically talking point just comes down to the fact of, do you think asexuality is real or not?
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of people who would also just straight up say, like, there's kind of people who are like, asexuality isn't real. It's just cishets who want to be part of, like, pride or whatever. There's also people who will be like, listen, asexuality is real, but it's not any different from being cishet unless your, like, romantic orientation is something else. So, like, if you're a bisexual asexual, I've heard, like, that said before. Like, if you're a bisexual asexual, then you're LGBT, but if you're a cishet asex, or a cishet ace, you're not. And it just kind of comes down to, like, I think that one just comes down to, do you think it's real or not?
Yeah, which I think that really misses the point of so much. Jeez, okay.
Like, I would argue that you literally can't, you cannot be heterosexual and asexual because they're two different things.
No, you can't. They're different things. Yeah, they're different things.
Sorry,
I'm not heterosexual.
Right. I would, yeah, that's what I would say too. I'm not heterosexual. And like, even, it seems to me like you would probably say like, you're probably heteromantic if you're, yeah, you're using the split attraction model.
Correct.
If you're not heterosexual.
Correct. I'm not, there is no part of me that would ever describe myself as heterosexual. Because I've interacted with enough heterosexual people to know that I'm different in a pretty big way.
I really think so. And we went, Rhodes and I went to go see Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade last night, which was awesome. People should go see it. It's very good. It's
very good.
It's wide release on August 3rd.
Great stuff. Yeah, we got a private release, apparently.
It was very cool. It was like, welcome members of this exclusive thing. And we were like, we bought tickets on Fandango, but yeah, we're here. We're glad to be here.
We are very important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let us in. And
let us
you...
in and we're real.
Give us a free popcorn refill or we will
riot.
Fucking riot. Like, goddamn.
Because we got there like an hour early and we were pretty hungry and didn't eat dinner. But listen, the movie's great. You should check it out because it's very good and it'll make you cry and also make you laugh a little bit, but mostly just kind of be like, in the soul. Like, I feel like that's the best review of that movie is like, oh, it's really great, but it just makes your soul go like, the whole time.
Yep.
Which is great. I love it. But there's... that was one of those things where, because definitely, like, we talked about this with Joseph, and this is something that comes up for me a lot, so we're probably going to talk about it as long as this podcast runs, of the consistent feeling of going through life and being like, yeah, I'm ace, I'm not straight, and then at some point being like, actually, though, am I, like, making this up, and is this not real, and do I just have a sense that other people feel a way that they don't feel, and it's just like a bad way of communicating or something, and all that stuff, right? And I think maybe I'm just making this up. And this movie, again, was another reminder that no, I'm not making it up. Because, like, the girl in this movie going through puberty certainly seems to care. This is also, like, with Big Mouth. I think Rhodes and you and me have talked about that before.
Yeah.
Of, like, watching that, and for me, I'm just like, oh, is that what you would think that's like? Is that like people being like, oh, it's such a great picture of that time, and I'm like, none of that was a part of
my experience. Yeah,
but like, that's interesting to see. And that was like similar with Eighth Grade. There's like a shot, I don't want to spoil anything too bad, but there's a shot when the character is trying to figure out some anatomy stuff, and it like tracks to her going into the kitchen, I guess. Now that I've seen the movie, trying to find some sort of vegetable or fruit item to simulate a male sex organ. I'm really doing this great. But like, I didn't even realize that's what was going on. So it pans over and it's landed on some bananas, and like Rhodes and apparently later, neither of us like understood that the bananas were important. I just thought they were a foreground element, and everyone around starts like laughing uproariously.
And
I was like,
what
the fuck are, she's just like looking in a refrigerator. What's so funny right now?
Yeah, I don't get it at all. And then the bananas come into focus.
And I was like,
that's what's happening. I get it. She's going to use the banana.
And also like, gotcha. Oh, it was just one of those things that apparently somehow must've been so much, I guess, like, so hashtag relatable or whatever, right? Like, that enough people were, like, immediately like, oh, of course she's going to go find mm-hmm. a banana or something. And that, like, just completely flew over my head because I would never be mm-hmm. like, well, I need to figure out what blowjobs are. Let me go find a banana.
Yeah,
I would just be like, I need to find out what blowjobs are. And then I would be like, but maybe later.
Yeah, I don't. This isn't really that relevant. It doesn't seem like an immediate issue. I'll just deal with it another time, and then probably never deal with it.
This is gonna come up. And yeah. When I do find out, I'd just be like, "Really? Yikes! Ugh.
What a lame use of time. I'm out. I'm outie. I'm Mercedes.
You're Benz. What?
I'm Mercedes. It's like I'm outie, but a different brand.
Oh,
it's off okay. brand. It's an off-brand sure. joke.
I got you. I was just thinking like. The end of Mercedes is Benz. I was also, there's a person I know who's named Mercedes, and I was like, you're Mercedes, like from my high school?
No.
Like, what are you talking about? All right, hashtag, hey, shout out Mercedes.
You hey,
probably listen to this.
You probably do.
I doubt it.
Are you the sex pizza delivery guy?
Who is Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Did you say something about Bob Dylan?
Totally.
Yeah, totally. Why am I doing this? The Marina's comedy hour sucks. Okay. All right. So I guess aces are not cishet, according to you.
Yeah, that's horseshit.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
Okay, so then would you say that ace people are allowed to be part of Pride?
I think it depends on the ace person. So what yes. I was thinking about this actually pretty extensively, this exact question, because you mentioned it at one point, and I had a lot of thought about it. See, I think anyone should be able to participate in Pride as like an ally to the LGBT community always if you genuinely want to be an ally, because I think it's important. But obviously ally is I'm not part of this, but I'm like supportive of it. So anyone can be an ally, I think, at the very least.
Sure.
So that's the first part of this. Second part is there's this big, this is how I view it, and I could be wrong, but this is how I look at it. I think the reason that we have, there's a reason we have LGBT pride, and there's a reason we don't have straight people pride, at least as a formatted event that we don't look at with disgust. There's a distinction, and the reason, I think, is that one group has been clearly oppressed and put down and stigmatized for a very long time, and it's really important that that community can be, prideful, maybe that's not the best word to use in this case, but, you know, proud of who they are and not ashamed of anything because there's no reason for them to be. So there's examples, obviously, throughout history of, you know, gay people and bisexual people being, you know, stigmatized and there's a word I'm forgetting again. It's not prejudiced, but, you know, put down.
Oppressed.
There we go. Thank you.
You Gosh. Said it like 2 seconds
I ago. Know, and then I completely forgot it. Yeah, so oppressed. So I think the reason that I think it's cool for them to have pride and straight people not so much is because the oppression component. So then the question becomes, have asexual people been oppressed? And the answer is, in many cases, yes. I think that's the important piece for me is that oppression component there. A lot of asexual people have been. I know a lot of people, maybe not as such a wide scale systematic thing, but I'm sure, I mean, I've experienced little moments of people being like, oh, that's not real. Like we talked about it just now. And that's a little form of like stigmatization and stuff like that. And there have been examples of straight up oppression of asexual people. Me personally, I don't think that I've experienced enough oppression or stigmatization in my lifetime for me to have a reason to stand up and participate in what's like pride, because I don't really feel like I necessarily deserve that title because I haven't experienced those same things as the LGBT community as abruptly. And so to insert myself into that community almost feels a little unfair, but I absolutely would not take away from any asexuals who do feel like they have experienced those things. And I think they should join in with that community when they feel they fit there, if that makes sense. I think it'd be wrong for me too, because I don't think I've experienced the kind of oppression that really, the kind of shows your need to be in that type of community, but I'm sure many asexuals have. And so I think the asexuals do have a place, but I think it's wise for individuals to decide for themselves they believe that they need to be there.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, so if Pride is about celebrating who you are,
mm-hmm.
don't you think you should be able to celebrate who you are?
I mean, I don't, but so But in the same way...
Don't you think you should have pride in yourself?
Sure, absolutely. But in the same way, do straight people have straight pride? I hope not.
Here's where I would say the difference kind of comes in.
Okay.
And we've talked about this a little bit recently too, sort of. Not about queer issues, but we were talking about like race issues and stuff a little bit. Mm-hmm. We have the best conversations. By the best, I mean all the time, really. Okay, but like, so in a future world... Mm-hmm. Like where everybody was cool with each other and had been for like years and 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 years.
Decades.
I don't think there would be any trouble with having like straight pride, because I do think that straight people should be able to be proud of themselves. And if they want to like have a thing where they're like, isn't it great that we love who we love? It's like, yeah, it's awesome that you love who you love. Mm-hmm. However, I would say that specifically for straight people, having pride or like White History Month or whatever those things are, men's rights activists or whatever.
Fun.
Not only are they groups, I think the problem for me isn't that like they haven't been oppressed or they haven't been oppressed enough, which is kind of a stupid thing to say. Oppressed enough is kind of I think that's a flawed concept. Mm-hmm. But is that they're part of the group that does the oppressing.
Yeah.
I think is the key difference is that for so long, straight folks are the people who've been keeping queer people oppressed. Certainly. White people are the ones who've been keeping, who have benefited and continue to benefit from the oppression of minority groups in the past or even in the present. And so the concept of celebrating something that's oppressive to others, something that has been used as a tool to other like groups of people, not to other people, but to as a verb to other people.
Yes.
That's the problem. It's like, I don't want to be out here celebrating, whiteness. Like, 'cause that's some KKK shit. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, I would say that's kind of the trouble with trying to come up with some sort of like straight pride event right now would be like, y'all straights need to like calm down first and like get everything on the level, like celebrating a thing that has been used to pull, like to push other people down, is really the issue. I don't think it's so much about, like, I understand what you're saying about oppression, and in some cases that's true, but I don't think that any kind of like, well, I haven't personally been oppressed, I don't feel, should ever be a barrier to that, because you are part of another. You have like, just like your thing isn't represented, you know what I mean, like your thing is, you've been I know that you personally have been told that like your orientation is not cool and is like perhaps a bit bad or broken, and like you might not think that that's like oppressed enough, but I don't think that oppressed enough is a thing. Like you've had this used as a tool to try to bring you down before, and you're not going to let that happen right now because you're going to be prideful. I don't think that there's any reason. And I mean, obviously, it's your choice if you wanted to go to an event. I'm just saying, I don't think that I agree with your viewpoint on that.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I guess the extra little component I would add as a distinction is in that millennia from now, everyone's cool with each other, no problems. I can't imagine a scenario, and maybe this is just because I'm asexual, but I can't imagine a serious scenario in which I would assume, this is the assumption part, that anyone else would give a shit about celebrating, like, their sexuality. Like, that to me doesn't even, I can't even imagine, like, in 2,000 years, 3,000 years, we're all cool with each other for that long, having a gay pride thing or a straight pride thing. Maybe it's just a lack of understanding, but to me it's like, oh, it doesn't even seem relevant because it's just what I do. It's just a thing. It's irrelevant who I love. It's just, I will continue to do that and you'll continue to do your thing. And
that's
so
true,
for
but
me,
it's also, it's kind of like a concert. Like, that's true. There wouldn't necessarily be a need. Like, pride at the moment is sort of more, it's one, I'm being prideful, but it's also, I'm going to make sure you see me being proud. And that wouldn't necessarily, hopefully that won't have to be the case in this good future scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't be like a fun thing that everyone's like, oh, let's come together and celebrate how much we like fireworks because it's the 4th of July, and oh, let's come together and celebrate how cool it is that I like dudes.
I guess. I mean, I don't do those things anyway. It's like,
yeah.
So I guess I just don't relate to it as much. But for me, it's like, I wouldn't express myself about any of this anyway. So maybe that's probably, that probably is what it really comes down to, is like, I'm not going to engage with it probably because I wouldn't have anyway. And maybe that's what it really is at the end of the day.
That's okay, I guess. I don't know. I think you've got some weird stuff in there, but the question was, are aces allowed at Pride? Not does Rose personally want
absolutely,
to go to Pride?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. Aces are allowed at Pride. No question. I just don't necessarily know I would engage with it, but that's not because
it's bad. That doesn't mean that you weren't allowed.
And that doesn't mean I'm not allowed. Absolutely. Correct. Correct.
Or that you shouldn't be allowed.
Absolutely. You absolutely. Aces should totally be included in that community. No doubt. No doubt. Agree.
Sorry, I felt, I was trying to just be like, oh, I'll let Rhodes answer that, but that's when I was like, well, let me put a brace out of the ear. I'm doing good voices today, and by good voices, I mean, yikes. Okay, let me hit you with something else. Basically, well, that one kind of just answers the fact, like, our ace is LGBT, our ace is queer, and we're like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So, okay, here's one that got pitched. And I think it's interesting. Okay, so that instead of having a split attraction model, there should be some other kind of model. And that bisexuality, for instance, is who you're attracted to. Bisexual, homosexual, heterosexual, that describes who you're attracted to. Asexuality describes the amount of attraction that you experience. So maybe they should be separate things, according to this person. Category A would be like, who I'm attracted to. I'm bi, gay, lesbian, pan, straight. Whatever. Category B is like how you feel attraction. I'm demi, I'm ace, I'm poly, I'm gray. I'm like a gray sexual bisexual, or I'm like a, you know, asexual heterosexual.
But I'm not sure what I'd fall into. I guess it would be, I would be asexual heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. I mean, that basically sounds like...
Doesn't it kind of just sound like the romantic model almost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. That one I felt, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
It is kind of interesting, but it doesn't, it's like, it's just like a slightly different, like, I'm going to use math real quick. It's just like a different coordinate system, but it's still the same. We're mapping the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, just using words that make less sense.
Well, and I think that the point of having it be this way would be that as long as you said that you were some sort, if as long as heterosexual was in the equation somewhere, you wouldn't be LGBT.
Maybe.
So it seems like something that's kind of an interesting idea, but it's expressly used to be like, let's keep people out. I also don't know what you would call someone who's like, no, I'm just kind of like, I like normal. Not to say aces aren't normal, but I mean, like, they're not like majority, right? So what would you do for the majority of like people?
The cissets?
Gay people or, well, straight people, gay people, whoever, who experience whatever the... regular, whatever most people have for sexual attraction, because I don't know what that is, but like,
would it just be like heterosexual
or what about a gay person who experiences an amount of sexual attraction that's more than demisexuality, right? Like, what would you call that?
Homosexual right? Because you have to say who you're attracted to and then how much.
Yeah, so how much wouldn't be homosexual again. It would be something else, I guess.
It would be like sexual.
I'm a homosexual sexual.
That's the only way I can take that, so that's what it is now in my mind,
right? So I thought that was an interesting way of doing it, but I also think that there's maybe a mistake there, because the concept again is, if bisexuality is who you're attracted to and asexuality is the amount of attraction, again, what if you don't have anything? Like, what if you are an aromantic, to use the split attraction model, if you're aromantic, asexual,
like you have
there
none.
Wouldn't be anything to put into
who
you're attracted to. I guess you'd just be an asexual, which again is like, that doesn't, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is that like,
it's not a good,
if you're
not
attracted
clear.
To anybody, then that's kind of like what asexuality is about. That's like the point of having the term asexuality. So it is about who you're attracted to, and the who is nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think so, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, yeah, it seems like this other model is not as clear as the romantic model, the split attraction model. And it does seem like it's designed intentionally to keep asexuals out of the LGBT community, or at least I guess hetero romantic asexuals out of that community. Which is shitty.
Maybe all of them. I don't. Yeah, that one maybe does sound more specifically hetero romantic. There has been a I dipped in pretty deep because I did get into kind of a conversation on the internet where someone was talking about specifically the fact that asexual people should not be allowed to like talk to children.
The oh my concept, God.
It was like, yeah, the concept was like, because no one should be talking to kids about sex. And by kids, I mean anyone under the, any minors. No one should talk to minors about sex.
Okay.
Because that's bad. And kind of the implication being that, like, if you're an asexual person and you wanted to go to a minor, say a 16-year-old who's in sex ed and be like, and also asexuality is a thing, because you're discussing your personal sexuality with a kid, mm-hmm. that kind of makes you a pedophile.
Oh.
So if you're ace and you think that asexuality should be taught in school, so maybe you're a pedophile who should die.
Okay, that makes sense. No, that makes sense. I get it.
You think that makes sense?
Perfect sense, yeah.
So I kind of got in this conversation, see, and I was just like, whoa. And then I was like, I guess it's time for a discourse episode. And I just dipped in and read all these different things, and I wrote down the stuff that I was like, these are some points we could maybe discuss. Accurate, not accurate? What do we think?
Yeah, I love that. I'm super into this idea that, like, do you remember that court case last week with the pedophile where he admitted to it and said, yes, I did talk out loud to a kid in the park one day. He came up to me and asked me, hey, I'm taking sex ed. Do you know the answer to this question? And then I said, yes.
I mean, but like, let's be straight though. If you're a kid and someone comes up to you in the park and tries to talk to you about sexuality, nice. Probably get don't
it.
Talk to them.
Get it? Get it? Let's be straight.
No, but like,
but for real, yeah. If a kid comes up to you in the park,
if someone came up to you in the park and was like, hey, let's talk about sexuality, like,
can you help me with my sex homework? Run.
But kick him in the balls first, like, for
real. Yes.
I'm not going there with you.
Yeah, I guess that's the end of the episode, I guess, right?
No, I have
more?
I've got one more. We could dip into the pedophile thing, and just to say that, I would say that another thing that puts asexual community together with some of the other, LGBT people is being compared to pedophiles. It's cool.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's very common. Like, the concept of, like, oh, if you're gay, you're a pedophile was, like rampant.
Yeah, just, definitely. I've heard that a
couple decades ago. It was, mm-hmm. like, that's anonymous, which is crazy pants. And it is weird. It does seem weird that that's being turned into the asexual community in the sense that, like, these are explicitly people who are not interested in sex, like,
at all.
Explicitly not. But that's somehow being turned into, that means it's all about sex, therefore you want to talk to minors about sex, so you're actually a pedophile. Mm-hmm, which is just like a lot of leaps and bounds, and
it's honestly very impressive. They should enter into the logic Olympics for the long hurdle. Do very well.
It is a way of thinking, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue probably not an accurate way of thinking. And maybe we could do less, like, you know, painting people as pedophiles just in general. Unless, you know, they are interested in having sex with children or are sexually attracted to kids.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But here's the last one. Okay. See, that's one way I would argue maybe that asexual people or the asexual community is faced some types of oppression.
Mm-hmm.
But another argument would be religion, because religion is at the core of oppressing quite a lot of queer individuals.
Absolutely.
For sure. But the argument is that religion would say that, you know, sex is bad. Therefore, like Christianity or big religions would say that asexuality is actually pure and good and godlike. So you're actually not oppressed. That's kind of the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not oppressed because the church thinks you're the ideal. Would you think that's accurate? Do you think that the religious people you've come across in your life have been very excited that you're asexual?
I've had a couple people who have been a fan as romantic people or as religious people, but a lot of other ones who have been very much the opposite.
Question because I know in your life.
I know what you're asking. Yeah. I've had some very negative encounters from religious people regarding my asexuality. The assumption is, well, God made sex for us to enjoy in the confines of marriage, supposedly. So therefore, if you don't have any interest in sex, when you get into marriage, you're broken.
Yeah.
So I've had the most oppression from religious people easily. Mm-hmm. So that was just false. Like, oh. No, sorry, person on the internet.
Yeah. That one is interesting to me because I was like, that hasn't come up with me a lot, but I was like, I know specifically that somebody in Rhodes' life was like, listen, I'm concerned mm-hmm. that if you get married, you're not going to want to fuck. And that's bad.
Okay. Sorry. That was always a really fun interaction because it was with a girlfriend's parents who had this viewpoint. And at first in the conversation, their concern was, oh, we're just concerned that you're trying to fuck our daughter. And then it was, oh, no, I don't have any interest in doing that ever. I just think she's really cool. And then they're like, oh, but that's a concern, too, because if you were to get married, you wouldn't fuck our daughter. And it's like, what? This took a really interesting turn.
Yeah.
It's almost like there's no way to win with religious people.
Huh. That's weird. I've never heard
weird.
That
before.
Whoa, wow. That's never come up before.
I have to admit, one thing I really like about religious people is how open-minded they are to other people's views. It's like their number one quality.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck.
It's just like, but like, okay, say you were straight and you were like, no, I really am very committed and I want to wait until marriage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Would they then be like, okay, but how are you going to have sex?
When
like,
you get
like, you know what I mean? It's like, would they be that concerned about your sexual life after marriage if you weren't like, oh, I'm asexual? Like, would they be like, okay, well, missionary, doggy, like, what kind of cowgirl? That's the thing, right?
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Like, no, of course they wouldn't. Because like, you wouldn't. Because why would you talk about somebody's sex life that isn't yours? Like, when they don't want to talk to you about it.
Mr. Father of Daughter that I'm planning to marry, Mr. Dad, I'd like to ask you for your daughter's hand in marriage because I know that's a thing you want me to do. And then he's like, well, that depends. Let's talk positions.
What's your position when you're fucking my daughter?
Are you talking like politically? Oh no, about like sex positions. I want to know how you're going to approach this. Because otherwise, I'm not happy. Like, I got to know.
It's only missionary. How often do people have sex when they're married? Every week? Once a week? More than that? Let's say once a week. Once a week. It's only missionary. Only missionary. Only missionary. But on one of the weeks, you got to spice it up. You
got to
do something fucking crazy
fucking shit. And so yeah, I'm just wondering, how are you gonna fuck my daughter?
I just want to make sure that at least one week out of every month you're just really getting into some like nasty, degrading fucking shit to get that all worked out. Are you gonna do that? Are you gonna make sure that like the way that you do your penis is very how do you do your penis? Can I see it?
And I'm the pedophile? All right, good episode, I think.
The episode, Am I a Pedophile? Probably not the title, because I don't know how many people would click on it.
No, I think it would be, And You Think I'm the Pedophile would be the title.
That doesn't sound like anything I would ever click to listen to.
Put sarcasm in the title like we did last week. It'll be fine.
Mr. Dad and the Pedophile, an asexual story.
Oh, I think that's worse.
Yeah, I think it's also worse.
Let's not do that. This has been Every 6 Sec, a sex and relationship podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. If you want to talk to us, you can tweet at us. I checked it once, and no one tweeted at us. Cool. It was great.
Thanks, guys. Fuck you. Like, honestly, though, like, not to get sexual, but, like, fuck you. And in the butt, I guess.
Fuck you. I guess.
Once a month.
Yeah. You can also email at us at every6sec@gmail.com. Yeah, for real, I didn't know it at all. every6sec@gmail.com. I checked it today and I didn't see anything. But if you want to email us, that's chill. Thanks.
We also have every6sec .tumblr, which I sometimes check. I went on there to check right now. I have like, apparently I went through and like found a bunch of like posts I wanted to draft, like to post later. And I didn't, because that's kind of how I do it. I probably have like so many on my reel blog, but right now we've got one follower on our Tumblr. How many drafts, you can guess?
Six.
Not quite.
9.
69. Oh, that's something you can do once a month. That's like a fun way to do it. I just, why would you care?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't get specific. It's your daughter. You should be happy. Why? Why are you thinking about this? Why is that something you're thinking about?
It's really wild.
It's really wild.
Anyway.
That's the end.
Thanks for listening. That's the end of the podcast. Please leave.